Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hi, Scott.
How are you doing, Mark?
Good. It's been a while.
It has been too long.
It has. That's what I heard, actually, this last weekend. I got in trouble. Apparently, podcasters are supposed to tell people if they're going to take a break. They're not supposed to just stop recording podcast episodes, which is what we did.
Well, you know, sometimes things happen.
They do.
Right?
Yeah. To be fair, I told them that you were a podcaster and you should have known, so I just blamed you and said I didn't know what I was doing. And
I should have known. And so since I couldn't lure you into the studio, I went ahead and just posted episodes we'd already recorded.
Exactly.
I did that over and over and over. And the good news is that we had about 50 episodes in the bank, and Apple Podcasts only keeps 50 episodes. So, I mean, your limit is 50. So if you scroll back all the way to the bottom, ones drop off as you add new ones. And so I was able, by doing that, to bring them to the top again. And hopefully that's been of some value to people who've listened. I tried to mark them with an E.
Right.
The E was supposed to mean encore.
Right.
Which means that we're doing it again, encore. Some people misunderstood and thought that we were now putting out explicit episodes.
Right.
And I think that explicit E looks a little different than the ones I've been trying to put in there. But anyway, maybe we got some new listeners who wanted to hear some explicit content. And so maybe it turned out great. I don't know. But
anyway. They were probably pretty disappointed if they were looking for explicit content.
That's fair. That's fair. Sorry about that, everybody. But we're back with some non-explicit, non-encore episodes here now.
Right. So we did have some good reasons for taking a break.
Now you're going to justify yourself for not telling people.
Well, yeah, that's my... So blame others and then justify yourself. Those are my...
Okay, you learned that here. Glad you turned into One Right Church podcast. One Right Church, One Wrong Relationship. There we go. How to not do it.
But we had... what have you had going on?
Well, I had a shoulder replacement surgery.
Yeah.
And so I have been spending hours more or less every day doing rehab and stuff like that. So anyway, I probably could have still fit it in, but I had that going on and it's doing better and I'm really thankful I had surgery. So that's my quick take.
Yeah. I had a surgery of my own, first surgery ever.
Okay.
I had my gallbladder removed. It was giving me some terrible pain in the middle of the night from time to time and found out it was a gallbladder and I had a big gallstone and the only way to help that was to get rid of the gallbladder. So
yikes.
I didn't have any physical therapy or anything. I just couldn't be very active for a couple of weeks. And
now you're back to normal?
Now everything's good.
That's interesting how you almost don't really need that.
I don't.
I mean, you do. I think you do, but anyway, well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
I haven't missed it, and I definitely don't miss the pain that it was causing, so that's...
We're good.
That's good. Yeah, then Cindy and I did a Johnny and Friends family retreat. We did that camp for a week. That was a lot of fun. A lot of our friends joined us, a lot of people from New Life Church, and some other local churches were there, so it's great.
Well, and you probably, when you start talking surgeries and stuff like that, you have to kind of admit you got a little older, too.
Oh, that's true. I did have a 50th birthday during our break here.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I'm glad that you've live that long. How's that?
Yeah. Well, me too. I will say though that I can remember when my dad turned 50, and I remembered him being a lot older than I think I am now that I've turned 50. I don't know how that math works, but.
Well, it is funny that way. So I was thinking about the same kind of thing, and I don't know what I was doing that caused me to think about it, but when I was in high school, my dad taught at the school and coached football. Mm-hmm. And I'll still, one day, we were in the locker room and we were going to watch some film, and the biggest guys on the team, which is a small school, there weren't very many big guys, but they were all on the same bench and they were in the way of the projector. And my dad just got on the end of that bench and he lifted the bench up and he moved it over, and all my teammates, their eyes just got like saucer. Like, what did Mr. Reevely just do? Wow. And I thought, well, that's pretty good for an old guy.
Yeah.
And now, I was just thinking about this week. He was then about the age that my son is now. It's like, what? He was so old. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
How your perspective on age changes, but.
Oh, what a great segue to actually what I want to talk about, because old has a different definition depending on your perspective, right? Old to me then, or old to you then, doesn't mean the same thing that old means now, you know? That's kind of what I want to talk about, actually, old? As we come back.
You're talking about old?
No, I want to talk about...
Well, folks, let's talk about our surgeries here. We're a couple old dudes just talking on the microphone.
Birthdays and rehab. Yeah, let's talk about that. We're losing listeners immediately as we're doing this, but
so all you young people out there.
I thought it would be good to talk about just defining some terms. I've been in a lot of conversations, especially as I was coming to faith, but really my whole life at Followers, where I would be in arguments with people about things like preachers or baptism or something like that. And I'd realize at the end of the conversation, we weren't even using the same definition for the word. Like we didn't have the same understanding of baptism even. And we'd have these arguments.
And you talk right past each other when you do that. And that's what makes a lot of what makes an argument. In fact, a majority probably come from the fact that you don't understand what the other person's saying, and or that it's different than what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I suppose old is like that. If I start talking with my grandkids about old, then the great news about that is that sometimes I get to be like 26.
Yeah.
Which they think is really old. Yeah. So by their definition I'm old, and by my definition I'm young, and I'm 26 again.
Exactly. If you want to prove it, just ask them to guess how old you are, and that you will see.
Best day ever.
Yep.
That's right.
Oh, that's funny. I will share just real quick. When I told my granddaughter, Colby, that I was turning 50, she just got really quiet. And then her question to me was, Grandpa, do old people ever turn 70? Like, she thought, like, maybe she doesn't know anybody that's 70 or something, or she doesn't know it if she does. But it's just funny how their minds work when they're...
You should have just told her, 70 is the new 50.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. So we got some different terms here to talk about, but I thought we'd just take one each week, and I thought we probably should start with the word grace. I think that became the most controversial word to me when I came to faith at Followers. Grace just became super controversial.
Well, controversial, is that different than being misunderstood or having the wrong definition?
Well, I think having the wrong definition or a different definition can add to the controversy. I think it can add to the tension of the arguments. And I think...
Oh, definitely.
I think people started assuming what I believed, because if I use the word grace in comments, then I automatically got put in this category over here. If he's talking about grace, then he's one of these
weirdos.
That we got labeled Baptists, or we got, it was.
Well, that is one of the things about, labels, is it's a quick way to dismiss other people and their ideas.
Right.
And so if grace functioned that way, it put you in some kind of a group or in kind of a camp, then you wouldn't have been understood.
Right.
And that is a recipe for misunderstanding when somebody takes a label and, throws you in a group of other people with that label, and they may or may not understand you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the other thing about these terms is they feel like they're going to be easy to define. And some of these words, whether we talk about grace or faith or hope or, these words that we read in the Bible a lot, they can sometimes be hard to just nail down a definition for these things. So I just think it's worth talking about from the point of view of where I was when I was there. We didn't hear grace talked about a lot. I didn't hear grace talked about a lot, but when I did hear it talked about, it was talked about like we've talked about the scale in the sky where your sins are on one side, your good deeds are on the other side, and you got to hope those balance out in the end. And what I was told was that's when God's grace comes in, is if you didn't quite balance the scale, then God will be gracious to you and give you enough to tip the scales in your favor.
Isn't that the point of the scales? Is either you do enough or you don't do enough?
That's why it didn't make any sense to me. And I thought, maybe I don't know what grace means. Like if that's the way you're describing it to me, that's not what I read in the Bible about it. And the other thing is we have to, I think, acknowledge that if we're starting from a place of believing that we earn our salvation, then grace is going to be really hard for us to understand the definition.
That's true, yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that's why I want to start with that one, maybe because I think it's, in a way, the hardest to describe.
All right. Well, we're feeling fresh because we haven't been in the studio for a while, so... Yeah, we'll take the hardest one first.
There you go. Well, Ephesians 2 is the first place I thought of to go to. And verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." How would you define the word grace in that, or what would you say is the biblical definition of grace?
Well, I would probably not even venture a definition at first, other than to say that this kind of does define it. Mm-hmm. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Number one, part of grace is it's not of your own doing. Mm-hmm. Part two is it is a gift of God.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, it's not the result of work, so it's not of your own doing. He wants to double down on that to say that, grace is opposed to your own doing. It's opposed to, your own working. So that, in other words, if it comes from you, it's not grace.
Right.
That would be the first thing that I would observe here. Then the second thing is that it comes from God, is a gift from Him. For free, not something you earn.
Right. So that immediately blows the first explanation that I talked about, kind of
the
out
great
of the
scales
water.
In the sky.
And
I just want to like a country song about that.
Right.
That just,
but and
ghost riders in the sky, moral scales in the sky. I'm seeing it.
Right.
I'll have to work on that.
I'm going to leave that to you.
Okay.
But if
I break into song in a couple episodes, you guys are going to want to come back.
But really, if you're saying that grace comes in if you've done all that you can and it wasn't quite enough, then you're earning that grace. If it's based on how many good deeds you have and God just wants to be gracious to give you just enough to
Get over the hump.
Get over the hump. Then that doesn't fit with this.
Because that is a result of works.
It is.
And this says very explicitly it isn't.
Yeah.
And the reason, I love the reason, so that no one may boast. In other words, so right. that, you know, in your picture, mm-hmm. in the ghost scales in the sky, that there is a, that there would be some boasting. Like,
yeah.
you know, I didn't need as much grace as you because I did right. better, Mark.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing he says that God intends to avoid. Mm-hmm. He intends to avoid any yeah. kind of comparison or anything except to say that God has done this.
Right.
So that's the essence of grace, I think, according to this text. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. That's it's really that scale in the sky idea. When somebody told me that was taught at Followers, I thought, that sounds crazy to me. And then they got to explaining, and I was like, oh yeah, that's basically what I've always believed. Maybe not, you know, explicitly said that way, but then this one person was explaining it that way explicitly, that like this is how it works. The reason I bring that up is maybe not everybody out there has heard of it that way. But I think if you think that you're working off of a works-based salvation mm-hmm. and that you're going to save yourself by your good deeds, then you're in some way believing in this scale.
And I think that that's kind of a default approach to religion.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's going to be religious, it's, you know, there is this question of, have I been religious enough? Have I mm-hmm. done enough? Have I been good enough? And any variation on that. And I think I would venture to suspect that people who are not religious or not really, don't intend to be, are hoping that when they get to the end, somehow they will have, led the kind of life mm-hmm. that will get them in. In other words, this,
yeah.
whether it's exactly a scale or whether it's some sort of a hall pass or something that they think they're going to get for their good behavior.
Right.
And as soon as you end up working for it, you are on a different, different playing field than a grace.
Yeah.
You're on a works-based playing field. And that, that's a problem because if you do that, then, number one, you don't really have any confidence that you've crossed the goal line. You've gotten far enough.
Right.
There's because the measurement is unclear at worst, or mm-hmm. it's absolute perfection at best.
Yeah.
In other words, I've got to be 100% to pass. It's this pass fail exam. I've got to be 100% to pass it. That's a different story. I think the other thing that does is it changes the relationship that you have with God to more of a transaction. You see, so I've been good enough. You know, I've done my work for the day or for the month. You need to pay me now.
Right.
That's a different kind of relationship that you have with God. It puts that kind of work that's opposed to grace puts God in your debt, is the idea that God somehow owes you eternal life, or he owes you this benefit because you've done this. And that's, God specifically says he does not want it to work that way. And so he's going to, he makes it work by grace through faith so that he can be, gracious and generous with people who don't deserve it.
Right, right. And that happens when you are saved, that you receive this grace. And then that also, the Bible tells us, sustains you too, that is in that grace that we stand through faith moving forward. In Romans 5, I believe it is. Is that right? I've got it written down here, but I don't have. Yeah, it's Romans 5. Mm-hmm. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So this grace isn't a one-time thing that is given, and then you're on your own to make your way after that either. It's the grace of God that through faith in which we stand. So it's an ongoing thing that we get. And then what do you say? We've talked about it on here so many times about you believe it's just by grace, and that's too easy. We've talked about it all the time. And I would hear that in arguments. You think it's just grace, and that's just too easy. It just can't be that easy. And I think just that term, as I was just saying it, just grace, you think it's just grace, tells me that we don't have the same understanding of what that word means, of how good the grace of God is, and the, I'm not explaining this very well, but the cost that was paid to provide this grace for us.
Well, I think that's the way that I was going to respond to what you said, is that grace is too easy. That's, you know, that might be your perspective, right? That grace is too easy. But if you take God's perspective, grace was not too easy.
Right.
Grace meant that God himself in the person of Jesus entered this world in a barn, more or less, and lived in the dusty streets of Galilee and was crucified like a criminal. And that's not easy.
No.
And rose again. That's not easy.
Yeah.
And ascended on high. And that's not easy. So none of it, from God's perspective, is easy. That Christ might come to make this grace available to us, is that's not easy. That cost him everything.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, even even if I was to work for it, it wouldn't cost me the same.
Right.
So no, you can't say that it's too easy. You might say that it's so good you should charge for it.
Yeah.
When in fact it's free, but you can't say it was easy. I don't think.
Right. Right. No, I think that's good. And people have a hard time, and I had a hard time as well, understanding how can this apply to me? How can this sacrifice that was made apply to me? That does sound too good to be true. Mm-hmm. But then the other part of that was, I didn't find it easy to accept that, because I had to let go and give up all the things that I was proud of earning up to that point.
You had to humble yourself.
I had to
humble
myself.
And it's never easy to humble yourself.
Yeah. But it's just when you do realize that through faith, that this grace is there for you, that Jesus did come live the perfect life, die for you, it's worth humbling yourself for. I would say it that way, I guess. Mm-hmm. And just you'll appreciate grace in a totally different way than, you know, these arguments that you're having against grace, you're trying to protect, or I was at least, because I've been on both sides of these arguments now.
Oh, there you go.
And I realize, at least for me, I was trying to protect all those things that I was proud of, that I put my faith in, that I had my hope in. And
it just occurred to me, we still haven't really straight up, except for what was there in Ephesians 2, we haven't said what grace, how we haven't like given it a dictionary definition.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you would probably say for dictionary definition is that grace is undeserved favor. It means that you get favor, or you get something that you don't deserve, like a gift. I mean, it's not, sometimes I would ask I'm trying to explain this to kids. I say, what did you do to earn your Christmas presents? Mm-hmm. And they just look at me like, earn your Christmas presents or earn your birthday presents? No, you don't earn those. You're just there. Somebody loves you and they give you a gift. That's what a gift is. It's not something you earn. Now, if you get a job, then you earn something. But a gift is for free. And that's the way that grace works. I mean, sometimes some people compare it and contrast it with mercy. Mercy's means not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you do not deserve.
Yeah.
So you don't get the judgment that you deserve, which is mercy, and you get grace and the benefits and the love and the forgiveness that you don't deserve. That's grace.
Yeah.
And so you've got kind of both sides of it. And I just was trying to think what are some other verses? And one that came to mind was Romans 6:23, which says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ our Lord. And I like that because it doesn't merely contrast the death and life. It doesn't mm-hmm. merely contrast grace or gift and wages, but it really puts the whole thing perspective. You do earn things.
Yeah.
You earn death by the way that you live apart from God, for the wages of sin. So when you sin and live apart from God, you earn death.
Yeah.
And that's what you would get, except that there is a free gift that you can receive that gives you eternal life. And that free gift, I mean, gift and grace, you can probably think of those in similar ways, and as soon as you get this free gift, then you are really receiving grace and free then to relate to God in a completely different way.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things you said there that reminded me, when you're talking about mercy versus grace, it's we don't get the judgment, like you said, that's mercy, because our sins are forgiven,
mm-hmm.
but we also get the righteousness of Christ.
Right.
That's the grace part. That's the gift part that I had a hard time. That was what I had a hard time understanding. How can this possibly apply to me?
But yeah, I mean, there's the, you don't get the judgment you deserve, which is mercy.
Yeah.
Because you get forgiveness that you don't deserve. That's
right.
Grace. That you might say that brings you to zero.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you receive again by grace something mm-hmm. you don't deserve. The goodness or the righteousness of Jesus that he won when he lived a perfect life that you can't live. So as soon as he, you know, as soon as you trust him, you receive his righteousness, which is additional grace. It's an additional gift, so that you're no longer zero. You are now plus as much as Jesus,
right?
And therefore completely acceptable to God.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Which
that's
reaches that perfection level that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
and that's the only
That's what
way.
Tips the scales.
That's the only thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's probably one other thing that I would want to talk about with grace, because there are different kinds of grace as well. There's just, what do they call it? Just general grace?
Common grace.
There's common grace that... The Bible tells us that God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust, and there's just common grace. We all enjoy a nice day, you know, good weather, things like that. And I would hear things in arguments where people would say to me, I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm at the right church. I know I'm doing the right thing because God is answering my prayers, because when I pray to him, he answers me. So I know that I'm on the right track. And I don't want to hear about it being by grace, and I don't want to hear about assurance of salvation and things like that. And so how do you, I remember times where God was answering my prayer. When I was praying to just, I just want to know what is true, and I want the strength to be able to act on it once I know what is true. I was praying this when I was at Followers. And
that's a good prayer.
And he answered that prayer. He showed me what was true before he gave me the strength to do anything about it, because I still
He showed you what's true before he gave you grace to believe it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he did. Okay. He did, before he gave me grace to believe it. Mm. And I would just say that there is a difference between common grace. There is a difference between God answering a prayer like that for me and then what I didn't have the same relationship with God then that I do now, and I only have this new relationship by His grace. It's a special grace.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what would you say to someone if they didn't agree with being saved by grace, if they believed they were going to earn their salvation, and then they said, I know that I'm on the right track because God is answering my prayers.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would inquire, I mean, what are they praying for and how is God answering?
Right.
Because, you know, common grace, I see common grace as something that happens for most people that you don't really have to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
That,
okay.
I mean, it's just like the grocery store still has food in it.
Right.
Or, you know, some other
sure.
thing. My car ran today instead of not starting.
Right.
Those kind of things are common grace. The when you begin to talk about a relationship with God and Him hearing your prayers, I mean, they're it depends kind of how what they're asking for. I mean, like I wouldn't see you're asking, show me the truth and give me the strength to believe it.
Yeah.
That is not a prayer for common grace. That is actually a prayer for special grace. And I can see God being very interested to answer that prayer.
I can see that.
If the prayer is, God, give me a job.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a little more along the lines of a common grace because He gives lots of people get jobs.
Right. Maybe I could clarify this. So we have, when you leave there's a lot of family separation.
Right.
So there, we will hear things like, from family that we don't have relationship with now, we will, when we do run into them, we'll hear them say, I'm just praying that we can all be together again someday. And I think what they mean by that is that I will come to my senses and return to followers so they can. But one thing that I heard that was answered prayer, they said, was, I just pray that God gives me peace with the decision that I've made to not have to do with you anymore, and He has. And so it's like, I don't really know how to respond to that. Like,
Well, the first one I would probably ask would, you know, make sure that I knew what they meant.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it might be like, I hope we all die and go to heaven together. I don't know right. what they're thinking, but I would probably ask about that. But the second one, I would probably straight up deny, now that they would disagree with me, probably I'd straight up deny that that's from God.
Right.
Because, again, if I went to the Bible,
yeah.
I would see in John 17, for instance, that Christ desires that yeah. That we are together, that we're one, and that we shouldn't have peace
right.
about not being unified. And
right.
so God's not going to answer a prayer that's mm-hmm. contrary to what He has revealed in the Bible. So I probably wouldn't, you know, you might feel better about it. That happens, you know, to all of us. I mean, sometimes yeah. I stub my toe and eventually it gets better.
Right.
That would be the kind of thing I think has happened there, but not
yeah.
that came from God necessarily.
Yeah. No, I think that's true.
And they would disagree with me, and that's fine. But again, I'm not going to let that define grace for me.
Yeah.
That's not a definition of grace.
Right. And I'm at a little bit of an advantage in some of these conversations because I've made those same statements about rejecting other people and felt okay about it. And I will say, you know who to surround yourself with to make yourself feel better about a decision that you've made. You'll always be able to find people that think you've done the heroic thing by choosing your church over your family or something like that. And so, I think that's a good to, and we can also get the idea that if we get any good feeling, that must be from God, right? And I don't think that's always true. If I think that, I think that the enemy is just fine with you feeling good about doing the wrong thing. And
well, yeah, I mean, so, the scripture says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. And so he is kind of all about making things seem real that aren't real.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
Yeah, that's true. And it is hard. I mean, how do you get this grace that we talked about? I would tell people, pray that same thing. I mean, I didn't come up with some great idea. I don't know why I started praying that. It was when I'd hear people arguing and I didn't know what was true. That's all I knew to do was pray that God would show me the truth. And so I would encourage people to pray that same prayer, that God would show you the truth and give you the strength to act on it when he does. And I mean, is there anything else to, how do you receive this grace, this special grace that is a gift from God?
Well, I think your prayer was a great start because essentially that's the way God answered that, right?
Yeah.
But you receive grace through faith.
Yeah.
In other words, the other thing that's, you know, you were saying, help me find the truth so and then give me strength to believe it.
Yeah.
That presumes two things. One, figure out the truth. Number two, you sort of latch on to it or pledge your allegiance to it.
Yeah.
And that's what we call faith. And so one of the things that I would recommend is that you develop the practice or you develop the habit of learning the Bible. So that the more you know the Bible, the more you'll have something to believe.
Right.
When you have something to believe, that's how grace comes. For grace through faith is what Ephesians 2 says, grace through faith. And so really you've got to figure out, okay, what is it that I'm going to believe? Because faith always needs an object. We're going to have to probably talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
But faith always needs an object. So am I believing something I make up?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, that's, you're going to believe something.
Right.
Believe something, or am I going to believe something that God says in his word? And is that something that I believe in his word, a promise by which I will receive grace? See, that's the way that works. When he says something as simple as, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. So that's a simple promise. And I'm going to have to decide, am I going to believe that promise or not?
Yeah.
If I don't believe that promise, it tells me the one who doesn't believe is condemned already. That's the next verse.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to want to believe it. So I believe that really with all my heart, that God sent his only son and that he did it so that I might have eternal life and not perish. And I really, like, that's for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit myself to that. Then that is the means by which God gives me grace. So so really grace comes through faith. So that it's that cycle of figuring out what is it that I need to believe and then believing it. Mm-hmm. That's how I get the grace.
Yeah.
That's
The
way that I would say how you get it.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like it's too easy. Just, I mean, you gotta trust. You have to trust the Lord for that. And he needed to open my eyes. I don't know how else to describe it, was that he needed to open my eyes. He needed to give me a new heart. That's what needed to happen. You know, what needed to happen.
Yeah, you said easy. I mean, it's not easy. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that I can believe that the Savior of the world was crucified on a Roman cross in the most, you know, shameful death imaginable at that time, and that's going to be the way that I get saved. I mean, who believes that? Nobody believes that unless you get some grace to, in order to believe it. And so I just really am in need of God's help and his grace and a gift in order to say, yes, I want this for me.
Yeah.
When I say, yes, I want this for me, that's when really the special grace begins to pour in your life. So
And we're reading a book right now with a group, and I can't remember the author's name, but it's the Gospel Primer, and it's about rehearsing the gospel to yourself daily. Like we've said it already, but I'm just going to say it. You need to rehearse this. You need to believe it again every morning. You need to, because it's so easy for this works-based idea to sneak in and these other things to sneak in. All kinds of things can sneak in if we're not rehearsing that.
Well, you say rehearse it, and you're talking about grace. I mean,
yeah,
we talked about this in our life group last night. I mean, what does it mean for God to love you? See, I mean, so to be loved is an act of grace.
Right.
Anybody who is loved because someone else loves them.
Yeah.
Not because they're good enough or beautiful enough or rich enough. I mean, anytime somebody does that, then they're in it for some other reason. They're not in it to love you. And so to be loved and to be sure that you're loved by somebody else is to really believe that you're receiving something you don't deserve from them. That's what love is.
Yeah.
And so all of this, when you were talking about that, that's what it means to be loved by God, is really to receive something you don't deserve.
Right.
And that is a struggle, because what are you going to do if you don't feel that? You're going to try harder. And when you try harder, that's not how you get loved by somebody.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, it's good. It's hard. It's just hard to see it until your eyes are open to see it. I keep saying that, but it's.
Yeah. It's it's just completely a gift. And so that's what you begin asking God for, is like, help me to see it and believe it and take it as a gift when it comes and not try and earn it.
Yeah, that's great. So. Well, we didn't talk about grace a lot until that last year or so that I was at Followers. I didn't hear hardly anybody talking about it, but we did sing songs about it all the time. We sang Amazing Grace pretty regularly, but it just says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And that, I don't think you can say it any, but I mean, well, I feel
we've been trying for an hour to say that, right?
Why didn't we just read this?
That's, we got to just cut the whole thing out.
Yeah. And then I asked how you, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I love that part, that it's by grace that you see your need. Mm-hmm. For God, and then it's by grace that you're given the solution through Jesus. It's so good.
That's really a genius line, isn't it?
It is. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And that's that ongoing part where it's not just a one-time thing. It's just, it's always there. And until this, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Talking about it just being that gift that will appreciate his love for us. So
that's great. Yeah. I do hope that everyone will trust the Lord and receive his grace and and really rest and just relax and receive the gift. So
yeah. Well, thanks for helping me define that.
Happy to talk about it.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.